there are millions of Christian homes that are absolutely miserable. And the misery in which they live caught them by surprise. The atmosphere of their home reveals that they have lost the habit of happiness in the pressures of society today. Communications are silenced because now too many subjects are off limits to them, and the standards of the home are no longer have the theme of cleanliness and order. You know, I wished I could say that there was a capsule that we could take, or one that we could give away, that would just automatically cause the cage of this home to be turned into a castle with peace and happiness within clean and orderly walls and security within the towers. But you know, Psalm 127, 1 says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." And the way to this castle built by God himself is not a community carnival ride in which the wife sits and does nothing while she is just whisked through various spiritual changes. No, the way to this castle is the daily discipline of mounting one brick upon another, in creating a peaceful atmosphere in the home, developing honest communications, and setting new and higher standards for homemaking where needed. You know, in 2 Timothy 2:15, Timothy is not admonished to wish to show yourself approved, but to study or discipline yourself to show yourself approved. And so this chapter on the home, I trust, will help your group to be realistic about what their needs are to make their home his castle. I trust that they'll also be realistic about what they're learning, because when they go home from the time together in the Bible study, it's like going out of the lab and going back into the situation that is real. And so this is what you will need to help them with. Now, the temptation, teacher, will be that some wives may want to tackle everything in this chapter all at one time. And that's a mistake. They will have old habits hanging on, and they begin to feel then, after meeting failure upon failure, that the things they studied here don't really work. So encourage them to just take one thing at a time to work on. Encourage them to start with the area of greatest need, and then to appropriate God's word to each area of need. It's also possible, teacher, that one of the or more in the group might be totally discouraged and feel like that she has such gigantic needs in all of these areas that there's no sense starting. And of course, remember what we discussed before, that discouragement is always of the devil. And encourage her to just start with one thing, and you may have to help her with some practical applications of just one area at a time. You know, it'll be the force of the Word of God that's going to keep them serving until their homes are like bright beacon lights, or as the scripture says, like a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. That's Matthew 5:14. God wants to put committed wives into a glass castle on top of a hill so that others can see the love they share with their mates and with each family member. And of course, the result would be that they would praise our Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This was Jesus speaking. And you know, because we have not heeded his words, the atmosphere of some homes could be broadcast almost like the 10 o'clock weather reports. Hot and sticky. Mostly warm with an overnight low. Cloudiness and rain forecasted. But unlike the weather, you know, the atmosphere of our homes is created by our own spirits. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." Is your home fun? Can you laugh at yourself? What God wouldn't give for homes with eternal hope, where the atmosphere is one of cheer and not of fear and despair. Now, of course, the proper atmosphere all by itself will not turn his home into his castle. Paul warned us that we ought to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. All right, then communication is another part of turning a home into a castle. Rather than bringing our hurts to Jesus, we sometimes become like bears. You know, they mark out the trees and they block territory into which their adversaries are not to come. And sometimes we're like that with our husbands. Instead of bringing these hurt thoughts before Jesus, we just block off the territory into which our husbands cannot come again. And of course, the result of this means then that communication begins to break down. And the more areas you find yourself irritated or upset over, then the more you avoid them, and thus the less you have to say to one another. Soon you almost stop talking because there's so many subjects off limit, there's hardly anything left to say. So communication is just, I cannot emphasize strongly enough how important it is to keep honest, open, loving communication going between a couple. But even assuming that we have established a wonderful atmosphere and we have exciting communication going, you know, a wife can still find herself not fully satisfied and happy because, you see, you cannot ignore God's laws in one area while you obey them in another and expect to be fully happy. Another area that I'd like to mention here is this idea of keeping the castle clean. Rumford once said, "Virtue never dwelt long with filth." And if you have time, teacher, and you're sharing with your class, you might want to develop these concepts of cleaning. One, a clean home is a good testimony. Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Secondly, a clean home is a result of learned discipline. Titus 2:4 and 5 points out that they may teach the young women to be keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then three, a habitually neat home reflects the orderliness of God. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "God is not the author of confusion." And then down in verse 40, it commands that let all things be done decently and in order. And then fourthly, a clean home will not allow the enemy to speak against you, according to 1 Timothy 5:14. Well, teacher, it's my prayer that studying this chapter and preparing to teach it, you will find yourself on a new and happy plane of creating a happier atmosphere, of communicating better in your own home, and of setting standards of excellence there in His castle. And remind yourself, teacher, and perhaps you need to remind your class, that though we have failed yesterday, and perhaps we failed for many, many other yesterdays, let me just offer this word of encouragement to you from the Lord, as He spoke through Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:22-23, where it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness." So there is new grace and new mercy for you and for me today. Goodbye for now.